Oh, cheers, bro.
Cheers, what are you drinking? Beer?
Yeah? You're not drinking, are you?
I'm not drinking. Why isn't the beer?
Well, I only have one in, what, once in a blue moon.
One in a 10 years?
Yeah, once in a blue moon, but I don't see you much. I thought, just have a beer.
What type of beer?
Corona.
Oh!
What's wrong with Corona?
Nothing wrong with Corona. For legal purposes, there is nothing wrong with Corona. Didn't it feel weird, though, if you're ordering a most unlucky brand in the world?
Why is it?
Are you joking?
No.
Well, think about it.
Unlucky.
Why is Corona the most unlucky brand in the world?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
They are, though.
Yeah, it must be, yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Anyway, so well done for coming back.
All right, so what do you want to talk about?
Well, the thing is, right, have you understood the concept of this now?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm building up a logbook of all the things to ask you before you die.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's funny, though, because I was talking to other people, telling people what we were doing, and loads of people had the same thing. They were saying, I wish I'd asked my dad that before.
And that's it. To be fair, we had so many messages come through. I quite liked this one, right? And this one's like a little bit serious.
Yeah, I would like to ask Martin Kemp before he dies.
No, because if you're listening to this, I do send it in to us, you know, because I like to know those questions that you wish you would have asked your parents.
Yeah, yeah. Done.
If you've lost a parent, what have you asked? Because I'm building up this thing, this library of advice that when he kicks it, I can just take it out.
Yeah,
and just be like, I've got that conversation recorded.
It is true.
I know all of it.
It's really true, because the more me and you talk, the more I realise that I never asked my mum and dad enough.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you didn't know. Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But this one, right, from Liz in Solihull. So thank you, Liz. I picked this one up because I thought it was quite sweet. It said, my mum passed away 2 years ago and I realised that we never actually spoke about her health. She was always very secretive about trips to the doctors, and even when she was in the hospital, I never really knew how she was feeling. It was always just brushed off, a subject I always think should be as open wherever possible.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that is a thing, though, nowadays, because I feel like my generation is like the most health things everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But you think about it, you're like, with your mum and dad, how much did you even ask them about their health, realistically, when you were growing up?
Nothing, until it was too late.
And going to the doctors was secretive?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was all listen, life was secretive. They had more secrets than you could ever imagine. You know, they had secrets in their family that you couldn't talk about. Whenever there was a problem in a family, it was a secret. If my dad went to the doctors, it was a secret. They never even said a word about it. The only time I realised, hang on, my dad's going to be in trouble here, is when my mum used to make him lard sandwiches to take to work with him.
What?
Lard sandwiches.
How's that work?
Like lard. You know, if you
cook, do they sell lard anymore?
No, but if you cook the lamb or the beef
on
a Sunday, right, what's left in the bottom of the pan?
Fat.
Fat. That's lard.
What? And then you put that in a sandwich?
You put that in between four slices of bread and take that to work with him.
That's disgraceful.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's rank. Is that what a dripping sandwich?
Dripping. It's dripping. It's lard.
That's disgraceful.
Yeah. But then when I was looking at that, I'm thinking, Dad, you got to be careful. Even though.
But did you tell him
still
that?
Still so young.
But did you tell him that?
No.
Why?
I told him that.
Why?
Because he liked them. Because he liked the sandwiches and I was a bit too young. And what Liz has come up with there is really true, because people my age never used to be really open with their parents. You know, everything was a secret. Like,
what about
now, if there's something wrong with me, I will tell you straight away.
You know, I don't believe you.
What?
You know, my number one thing that I said to mum
is
I'm always like, the other day I said it to mum, I said, Dad looks a little bit skinny. Is he ill?
I know you did, because mum told me.
And I said, because I always think you're the type of person to be like, no, don't tell him.
No. Yeah, but there is a fine line whether you tell someone that you love to make them worry, because... You know, why make them worry if you don't have to? So there is a fine line over that. But there's also a nice thing of being open about it all.
Yeah, but here's my deal, right? This is the reason why I'm so, like, I spoke to mum the other day about it. Yeah. And then the other day she's saying to me, oh, yeah, no, that person in our family, they've got, you know, heart problems. This got dementia problems, this Alzheimer problems. And I'm like, excuse me, I quite like to know.
Yeah, of course.
Because what do you do? You're me.
Yeah.
Later.
It's all going to be handed down to you.
Yeah, but that's why, but why do you think I want to ask?
Yeah.
That's why, do you know that, again, that was one of the major things that like people like laughed at me. When we said it on Gogglebox, people laughed at me when they said, when I said to them, I was like, when you're your, how old are you now?
62.
You're not 62, you're older than that, are you?
No, 62. Oh. Well, I'm not older than that.
I thought you were older than that.
No, I'm not. I'm 62.
Oh, no. The reason why I asked, and everyone said, well, oh, yeah, great that you asked him that. No, I was being serious. I asked you how far your balls drop.
Hang on, I'm 63, aren't I? No, I'm 60.
Do you want me to Wikipedia it?
Yeah, Wikipedia me.
How old do you think you are?
62.
Martin Kemp, age. Yeah, you're 62.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. No.
Thought I was older than I am.
I thought you were older than that. Okay, so here's the funny questions that we'll get out of the way first.
Yeah, go on.
How far do your balls go?
Quite a lot. It is quite unbelievable.
Does it really happen? No, does it really happen or is it just a myth?
No, everything drops down. The older you get, the more everything drops down. And it's not just your balls. It starts, you know where your pant line is?
Yeah.
It starts there. And it all starts to drop down from there.
That's called a fupa. That's what they call that.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the pubic pouch.
Yeah, pubic pouch.
Yeah.
And it all starts to drop down from there. So everything drops down.
Yeah, but does the penis drop down? Because otherwise is the fat that's rolling
over
that.
No, what's
weird. So that goes in.
Yeah. No, what happens? Your pubic pouch drops down and your penis drops up.
Oh, see, I'd quite like to know that.
It's the truth.
Well, I'd like to know to be married before that part happens.
It's the truth. And it seems to go grey quicker than any other part of your body.
What, the hair?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, pubic hair.
I thought you were saying your penis is going grey.
No, not my penis ain't going grey. Well, it does something.
Your pubic hair goes grey.
Yeah, your pubic hair goes grey quite fast.
How old were you when it went grey?
I think I was about 35.
Shut up.
I was 35. No.
35? Yeah, I've got 5 years before I got Santa pubes.
Yeah, before, well, you're starting to go grey around your side.
Grey on
you?
The side.
On your head, right?
Yeah.
About the same time, a year later, I think it was nearly grey.
So if you're naked right now,
I just shave it off.
What?
I shave it all off.
Do you?
Yeah, I shave everything off. Don't like it. Because when I look down, if I'm sitting on the toilet,
would you use
down,
Veet or shave?
I feel
shave?
Older than I am. Eh?
Veet or shave?
No, shave it. You've got to use a razor, though, that's got plastic blades. Because, you know, you nick
wrong.
Yourself.
That's where I'm going wrong.
That's horrible.
Plastic blades.
Yeah, okay. Plastic blades. If you use the proper ones,
why? You're going to end up with blood everywhere. Why? Because your skin's more wrinkly.
Yeah, it's wrinkles. It catches in wrinkles.
That's good to know. I mean, it's good to know.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
there you go.
Know.
That's another bit of information.
What?
You know, when you're, you know, sending me down the chute, you'll be able to think, yeah, my dad told me to use plastic blades.
Yeah, that's it. All right. What's going first?
What do you mean?
Your eyesight? Your ear? Hearing?
Listen.
Brain?
Everything's going. The older you get, it all goes. My hearing's going. But my hearing's going. Listen, I deserve that. You know, I was in a band for... 12 years, right? Mm. I was playing at volumes that you cannot imagine. So my hearing going, I kind of deserve. Yeah. You know, when I would say to Gary, turn it down, he'd just turn up and I'd turn up and Gary would turn up and I'd turn up and it just got louder and louder and louder. Mm. It was like being in The Who at one point, you know. Stacks of amps that were like, looked like tower blocks.
Mm.
And so I deserve to be kind of... I deserve to be deaf. But my eyesight started to go because of all that brain problem I had, because of all the fluid that collected on the back of my brain while I was going through all that brain tumour stuff, that it kind of hit on the optic nerves. So it started to deteriorate my eyes.
All right. So, I mean, look, let's talk about that.
That went quite quickly.
Well, let's talk about that because, I mean, that is everyone's nightmare. That is a nightmare scenario.
Yeah, it was a nightmare. Yeah, everyone. That whole brain tumor, 5 years that I had.
Okay, so
it was a nightmare.
So you are at this point, you're healthy to your knowledge. How old are you? How old are you?
It was
38,
95. Right. So yeah, about.
So I was two when it started.
34. 35. Yeah. But I was the healthiest I'd ever been in my life.
How did you know that?
I was in the gym every day, working out. I was on the running machine every day, lifting more weights than I'd ever lifted in my life. And it was almost, when I look back, it was almost as if something was preparing me for it, you know? Right. It was almost like I'd come through the fact that I'd been through too much drink and living the life of a rock star out on the road, eating the worst foods, getting up late and all that stuff. And all of a sudden I became health obsessed. I was in the gym every day.
Right.
In a way, getting ready for what was to come, which was...
But what about all the alcohol and all that, et cetera? That's gone at this point.
Well, no. It did go at that point.
Right, when you found out.
I was still doing it. I was still on it.
Fine.
Yeah, I was still on it, but not to the extent of when I was a kid.
Yeah.
There was a big thing for me with alcohol. I drank so much when I was a kid, when I was with that band, and all the band did. And then one evening at a party, someone in a hotel, someone had given me a magnum of champagne, right? And I put it...
Was that like a really big one?
Yeah, one of those really big bottles.
Yeah.
And I put it on the shelf next to the television in my room, in my hotel room. And I went to bed that night and I could not go to sleep. Could not go to sleep until I got up and I had to pour that magnum of champagne down the toilet.
Why?
Because it was playing on my mind. It was saying to me, get up and drink me. Drink me. And that, right, frightened the life out of me. So,
do you think that's the closest you come to an addiction thing?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Really?
Without a doubt, yeah. And my brain was telling me, get up and drink it. Get up and drink it. And I was on my own in bed.
I can safely say, I don't feel like I have any form of addiction.
No.
Personality thing in me.
Yeah, I don't think it runs in our family, but, and I'm glad you don't have that, but that, if you imagine the amount that, when I was on the road with Spandau.
Yeah, how much are you drinking a day then?
Probably... most of a bottle of Jack Daniels and a bottle of champagne, probably.
What?
Yeah.
How did you play?
This is afterwards.
After?
Afterwards, yeah.
So what, you just pass out and go sleep?
Afterwards, with Spandau, afterwards, we wouldn't just kind of like go to a hotel and get separate rooms. We would hire probably the floor of a hotel. And at the end of the floor, you know, the 17th floor, the top floor, wherever it was this party room. And it would happen every single night that we were on the road for 10 years. And every night, probably the band were given a bottle of Jack Daniels each and a bottle of...
Each?
Yeah, and a bottle of champagne each. And you put it in one corner and you drank it.
Christ.
Yeah, it was...
All right, so then...
We used to have one guy, that we used to pay to come on tour with us. We used to have this a flight case. Mm. And in the flight case used to be a bottle of champagne and a bottle of tequila. So that if you ever feel down on the road, you could have a slammer.
What's a slammer?
Slammer, where you pour the champagne and tequila together and then you bang it on the table.
Get out.
Oh, down it in one. And we used to have one guy whose job it was to carry the tequila slammer flight case.
So, I mean, look, then fast forward, what, to you're 35?
Yeah.
You've done all of that. And then what happens? So you feel fit?
Well, the band had finished, been finished for about 4 years. I'd shot The Craze in 1990. That movie. Mm. And then The Craze was quite a success, credibility-wise, in America. So I went over to America to live for a few years in Los Angeles. And I was shooting all those kind of TV shows that they had out there, all those sci-fi shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know that stuff, TV, American TV. And I was working on this one called The Outer Limits. And in it, I play this professor that had discovered the cure for, or a formula for, everlasting life, right? But it all goes wrong and he starts to
die
quicker than he should, but he can't die, so he just gets really old, like 200 years old.
Right.
So in it, I'm wearing like this bald cap with like loads of crispy white gray hair coming out everywhere, and as they're pulling this bald cap on in the makeup one day, you can see this lump on the back of my head that looks like Ayers Rock standing there. You know Ayers Rock in Australia? That big old
Oh, yeah.
It looks like that coming
out. Uluru, that's what they call it. Yeah.
Looks like absolutely...
massive.
It's horrendous.
How big? Well, yeah, but we,
it was probably stood up about an inch by this point.
How wide?
Because we didn't notice it. Didn't really notice it. And then all of a sudden, it started to grow really fast. Like within a couple of weeks, it went from being next to nothing to about an inch thick, my skull. You know, like when...
Why'd you leave it?
Well, what was happening was when you... You know when you break your arm, you get that little bit of extra calcium that covers it to make it a little bit stronger.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So my brain was reacting like that because inside was a big old massive... tumor that was growing so the skull was protecting itself, so it became thicker and thicker and thicker, and I didn't really leave it. I just didn't notice it. I was like, within the 2 weeks I was away in America shooting this thing called The Outer Limits, it had gone from like millimeters thick to like about an inch.
So then who found it? So these people on the film?
Well, I saw it straight away.
Mum
had warned me about it. We have kind of a different take on it. Mum's story is slightly different to mine, but it all got distorted in this time over, like, because it was more like...
Did you hide it?
No, I didn't hide it at all.
Did you go home and say to Mum, I've got this thing on my head?
Yeah.
Were you scared to go into the hospital? What did you first think
it was? I was petrified.
Did you think it was a tumour?
Yeah. I kind of knew what it was. Kind of guessed that something's bad going on under my skull.
But did you have any symptoms or anything like that?
I was more scared. It's just a mad thing. I was more scared about going into a hospital and checking into the neurology ward because I was Martin Kemp, because I was famous. And I didn't I hated the attention. Hated the idea that...
someone celeb has got sick.
Yeah. Yeah, and I hated that idea.
But then, okay, so did you have any symptoms or anything like that?
No. Didn't have any symptoms.
Did that ever happen? Did you ever have one symptom?
I had symptoms. I realised I had a symptom when it was taken out about a year later, when all of my smell came back. But I didn't realise was that my smell had been disappearing. But that was the only thing I had. But when they looked into my brain, when they took MRI'd it, they found a tumour in there that was
massive,
like the size of a grapefruit. Grapefruit.
Yeah.
But it had all been squashed and flattened, and it was all in the gap. You know that gap that you have in between your skull and your brain?
Brain, yeah, yeah.
And your brain is in that kind of watery sack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's a little gap in between your skull, and it was all been flattened in between there. And it just looked like it was everywhere. It looked like a squid had locked onto my head and just smothered it. It was absolutely bizarre.
So you and Mum go into the hospital...
Yeah.
And they sit you down. Do they beat you around the bush or they just go straight out?
Oh, yeah. They pulled out the x-ray straight away and said, this is the problem. And he showed it to me, and it's the weirdest thing.
Do you remember that conversation?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like time stands still. You know, you don't hear that much.
Did you cry? Did Mum?
I didn't cry. Mum kind of was like, had gone grey. I remember that. But it made me feel sick to the point where I had to put my head in between my legs, because when things like that happen, you can't breathe. You know, it's like time stands still, and it just, everything around you just becomes frozen.
You think you're dead?
Yeah, pretty much. I think from that moment, looking at the x-ray on the light box that he had in front of us, I was looking at that and I think, no, that's no good. You can't come back from that, because it was massive. It was just like, if you can imagine this massive grapefruit inside your head pushing down on your brain. And he starts saying, oh, yeah, we're going to take it away. We'll cut it out.
Was he quite confident then? He was just like, no, we're going to get this out.
Well, he was confident for the first half an hour when he was telling me about that.
First half an hour?
Yeah, when he was telling me about that one. But... he wasn't so confident when he saw the second one that was in there, because I had a second one that was sitting at the top of my spine.
So when did he see the second one? What, in thing?
We had the MRI scans out, you know, while I'm sitting there. He's got the scans on the light. box, but nobody expected to see any more than the grapefruit that was sitting on the back of my head, which the grapefruit, in a way, was the luckiest thing that ever happened to me. It was like a signal that something was wrong, right?
That another one was in there?
Yeah.
And where was the other one?
It was right in the top.
Yeah.
So if he never found the big old grapefruit that was in there, if I never went to have the MRI done, he would never have seen the one in the middle until it was too late, and that would have killed me. Mm. So I always thought that the big old grapefruit that was in there was the luckiest thing that's ever happened to me in my life.
So how long were you in the hospital for?
I was in probably about the first time I went into hospital to have the actual operation of having it taken out, about 4 weeks. Then they had to send me home for a bit until they made the metal plate that was going to go onto the top of my head. And so they sent me home and he said, whatever you do.
Wait.
Yeah.
So sorry if you're squeamish listening to this.
Yeah.
So they've cut your skull out.
Yeah.
And they've sent you
home. Put a bandage over the top of it.
Fuck
off. Right. Yeah, they cut my skull out, put a bandage over the top of it. It's all soft. Every time I turn around the corner, I can hear like fluid moving around. Right? And then I take the dog over the park, right? Emma, our old Doberman. Yeah. And I take the dog over the park and I'm walking along the path. And all of a sudden I look up and there is this fucking great log that someone had thrown for their dog coming down straight on my head. Bang. Straight down on the soft bit of my brain, right? And it was kind of like, and I stopped and I thought, what is going on? It just felt like my head is the center of the universe, attracting everything that was bad. You know, and this log.
I would have worn one of them NFL helmets.
And it,
I'm not joking. I would have worn one of them. Why did you not?
I don't know.
What, you got a little bandage on it?
I was worried for the first couple of weeks. I was worried.
I'm not surprised you were. You got a fucking bandage over your brain.
I was worried for the first couple of weeks. And then after that, I just got used to it. You know?
What, you're showering with it?
Yeah, no, I just got used to it.
Open. Get a breeze on it. No, I just need a bit of air on it.
I got used to it. Anyway, after this log came down out of the sky, I just thought, you know what, I'm going to give that in. I'm just going to take it. Sit indoors and not do anything.
Obviously, you know, my earliest memories of being at home are you bald.
Yeah, that's right.
With no hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I seen another picture the other day where it's the same. And then you being bald and writing your book in a room in the house.
That's it. Yeah. What did you think then?
Mum did such a good job. As much as I feel sorry for you, I felt more sorry for Mum.
Yeah, of course.
If I look back on it now,
yeah,
that sounds horrible.
Yeah, no, it's not horrible.
Because
it was the same for me.
Well, I would feel like now, what's Mum gonna do?
Yeah,
you know, she's, you know, flipping all this stuff. Did you ask? Is it hereditary?
They said it's not hereditary. They said to me because they were benign brain tumors. Yeah. They weren't malignant, which is. That, for me, probably was the scariest moment, is when they take a biopsy and they send it away and they find out if it's benign or malignant. Yeah. It's kind of like you realise that life is just a spin of the coin. Some people get the lucky side and other people don't. And waiting for that biopsy to come back was probably the scariest moment, scariest couple of days.
Yeah.
You know, waiting to find out what it was.
Did you look back and think, this is because of how I treated my body?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
Did you think the drugs, the drink, this has done it?
Yeah, 100%. Lifestyle, rock and roll lifestyle.
And do you still think that?
Since I was 17.
Do you still think that?
Probably. Yeah, probably I do. Yeah, if I think about it. It was probably, you know, the idea that, I mean, because, you know, when I was a kid, I was 17, I was in that band, I was living it up like I was absolute in Led Zeppelin. Like I was a rock star.
Yeah.
And I did think that. And not only did I think the way that I treated my body, in the way that the amount that I was drinking and whatever else there was to do at that point, it was also, I felt like, do you know what? I'd used all the good luck up. I'd used all the good part of life up. And there can't be any more because I've used it all.
So you're more health conscious now?
Yeah. So much, yeah. I mean, I hardly drink. Once you know.
But is that because of the brain tumour that you think you don't drink as much?
Yeah. I'll take life a lot easier, you know. But I'm 62. You learn your lesson, you know. I try and keep myself fit for someone who's 62. I don't drink.
Well, have you seen that? Well, the reason I ask as well, have you seen that bloke that's reversing his age?
Yes, I have. Yeah, it's quite interesting.
There's some bloke. Yeah. Right, if you're listening to this, there's some like million. Let me pull his name up.
Right. Yeah.
He's some multi-millionaire fella who is reversing the aging process.
What's his name?
Here we go. Brian Johnson, the tech millionaire who sold its payment processing company for $800 million, to reverse the aging process, is now consuming 111 pills daily to achieve the results. That sounds shit. Like that.
Yeah,
like,
but have you seen a picture of him?
I don't think he looks that good.
Oh, he looks like a baby.
Are you joking?
No, he looks like a baby.
All I'm saying is for 111 pills
a day. Literally, he looks about two.
So this is a real thing, by the way. So you can look this bloke up. His name is Brian Johnson, right? And he says, Johnson's goal is to transform his 46-year-old organs to function like those of an 18-year-old, right? So basically, what? He's spending all his money not to have hangovers.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But you've got to split it. You do have to split it with how much fun you want out of life, you know, or...
Mate, he's spending $2 million a year.
That's what I'm...
And he's waking up at 4:53 every day, he says. Oh, well, that's not life, is it?
No.
There must be parts of life where you just think...
You've got to.
That's what I mean. Like, because I always get health anxiety. But yeah, there has to be parts where you go, you've got to live your life a little bit.
Yeah, you do. But when all that, you know, that brain tumor thing happened to me, I did feel like I'd used it all up. I used all the good stuff up.
Were there any health fads that you ever tried?
Yeah, loads. Yeah.
Because that's what I always say. You always see these things and you always worry, like, should I jump on this? Should I get on this?
Yeah. Look, you know what I got into a lot? Meditation, right? Which I absolutely love to this day. But have you ever tried...
You don't meditate now, though.
No, I don't anymore. But when I need it, I do. But
what are you doing then? Sitting around going,
No, I don't do
Yeah.
I do this thing where I lay on the bed and I play like really soft music. And then And you know the meditation where... You're laughing at me.
I lay on the bed and I play really soft music. And all of a sudden, it's the next morning.
No.
And I fell asleep. That's called falling asleep. That's not called meditating.
Hang on, right? I do this meditation where, you know, I imagine that my body is a complete piece of glass, right?
There we go.
Yeah, listen to me.
Right.
And that it is filled with really dark purple smoke. And then all of a sudden, now you're laughing, but this is what I think of. This is what goes on in my head.
How is it glass and filled with smoke?
It's glass. It's a glass body. Imagine someone's made a glass body, right? And it's filled with like deep purple smoke.
Right.
And then I will imagine bit by bit that my feet are getting filled up with pink smoke. And then the pink smoke comes up my leg. And then it goes up to my knee and around my groin. And then it goes until it goes right into my head. And by the time the pink smoke gets into my head and into my brain, I am absolutely out there meditating.
Yeah. You sure they remember to put the top of your skull on?
No. But that is true. Have you ever tried, you know, when the flotation tanks? Have you ever tried one of
those? See, no, that's another thing I don't get.
Oh, that is brilliant, bro. Flotation tank, you got to do that.
What's a flotation tank?
Flotation tank is this tank. It was huge back in like the middle of the 90s, right? And it's a big old plastic tank, looks a bit kind of like Star Wars. And you get in one end, and in it is about 12 inches of water.
Yeah.
It's filled with salt. But the water is exactly the same temperature as your body, which is the same temperature as your blood and all of you. And when you're lying in it, in the pitch black, with no sound, it is as if someone has let your imagination run wild, run absolutely free for the first time ever. Because you've got no other, no distractions coming in at all. You're not thinking about anything. Your imagination.
And what's it helping you do? Yeah, but what's it helping you do? Is this for your health or what?
Well, it's meant to kind of like, it's deep meditation.
I mean. Like, what are the things that you found, like... If I was to go into my life and be like, oh, by the time you're 60, make sure you've done this or make sure you've looked after this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, those are the things. My thing is, here's a big one.
Yeah.
Sun cream.
Yeah.
Do you wish you'd worn more sun cream?
Yeah, of course I do.
But do you really?
Yeah, no, of course I do.
Was the tan worth it?
At the time it was. At the time it was. In the 80s, listen, I was using cooking oil to catch the suntan. Like literally burning my skin to pieces. At one point, I burnt my skin so bad when I was in Australia that my nose literally came off as one piece.
Well, like a snake.
Yeah, like a snake shedding its skin. Came off.
And that's a big nose as well.
Yeah.
That's a lot of skin.
But it came off as one piece. The next day, I was back in the sun. Back out there.
That's my one thing. Like, so what? So that's your advice, is actually do wear the sun cream. Is the tan worth it?
No, you've got to split the difference. You've got, like, tanning makes you feel good, doesn't it? It makes you feel good when you look in the mirror and you've got a little bit of a tan going on.
Yeah.
But don't do it all the time.
Do you think people waste too much money on health fads, though? I'll give you, for instance, yeah. So in America, there's this big thing about, you know, like facial care.
Yeah.
How much skincare do you do?
I put cream on every night.
I think you put cream on every night?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
I do. You ask mum.
You put cream on your face?
Yeah.
What, single or double? Whipped.
No, I will put, do you want me to tell you which brand?
Yeah, tell me what brand.
Clarins. I use Clarins, and I won't use the
men's. What, you an 82-year-old old girl?
Yeah. Shut up. I won't use the men's Clarins because I don't like the bottle. I only have to buy.
You don't like the bottle.
I go into Selfridges and I buy the little, the women. I make sure they give me the women's one because I like the red bottle.
Okay. But I believe, I don't moisturise. I don't do.
But I never,
niche.
When I was your age.
Yeah, but I think it makes you worse. I think it makes you worse. I think all that shit people put on their face, like all
no,
that
it
stuff.
Doesn't.
Girls that have skincare routine, guys that have skincare routine, guess what? They've got some of the worst skin I've ever seen.
Yeah, because they're trying to make it better.
But I think the companies are like, you know, putting stuff in
no.
it to make it, you
that
know.
That is a conspiracy.
Well, you've got to come back and keep buying it.
Listen, I never used to do anything to my skin at all until
and you're fine.
I probably reached about 50. And when I was 50,
when did you start getting
I
the old
realized,
people spots?
Sorry?
When did you start getting the old people spots?
Oh, bro.
I'm being serious.
If you look at my old people spots, as you like to
you
call
haven't
them,
got many old people spots.
Eh?
You haven't got many old people spots. I wouldn't be able to tell.
But mine are kind of around my sunglasses, where the reflection of my sunglasses used to burn out all around the edge.
So it's sun?
Yeah, it's sun. It's sun damage.
So
what old people spots are sun damage.
So you think sun cream could be the one to get rid of them.
Yeah.
I always
listen,
have a fear.
I always
have a fear. You know them, like those lumps that old people get under their skin.
Yeah.
And the face.
Yeah, no, I haven't got any of those.
No, I'm sorry. If you get one of them,
yeah.
I'll let you get
know.
It off.
I'll let you know.
I'm taking you to a plastic surgeon. I said this same to mum. I was like, I can't deal with them. No, I used to have a teacher who used to have one on the back of his neck.
Yeah.
Like old people's skin tag. Oh, fuck. It used to be right at the back of his shirt collar.
When he
as
bent
well.
Down.
No, it was right at the back of his shirt collar. I was about to pick off.
Yeah.
Like, it was disgusting. Speaking of facials, right? I was saying there's this new one in Hollywood that they're doing.
Yeah.
It's called the penis facial.
No, it's not.
On my life.
And what do you do with a penis facial?
They get the foreskin of babies from Vietnam and Thailand, and they roll it into your skin.
That is not true.
Yep. Hey, let me have a look. I shouldn't type this into my phone, actually. Penis facial. Here we go. What is the penis facial that Sandra Bullock gets? Right? This is no joke. The treatment involves the use of something called epidermal growth factors, derived from stem cells. Oh, newborn discarded foreskins of newborn babies in Korea.
That is terrible.
And then it's micro needling, that thing that they do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they like pierce the skin.
Yeah, yeah.
Baby foreskin. At that point.
She rubs them on her face.
Yeah. So what my question to you,
that's unreal.
Is that worth it?
No, that's not worth it. No,
it's not worth it. You're going to get old.
Yeah, but that's, where, I've never heard that before in my life.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
It shocks me, to be honest.
The penis facial is a real thing. What about tablets then? Do you think it's worth taking vitamin C?
Like vitamins?
Yeah.
And stuff? Yeah, I always take vitamins. Yeah, vitamin D I take.
And do you have to up them when you get old?
You know, I never started taking them until I was old.
Here's my other question.
Yeah.
Right? Because again, this is all just me prepping for later life. I can safely say I fart more than anyone I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
Are you the same?
Yeah.
No. Out of your friend group, is that you?
Bro, I fart all day. All day long.
Because do you know the number? And like, I've looked this up. Do you know the number of farts, average amount of farts you're meant to do per day?
How many?
12.
No.
I hit 12.
No.
I hit 12 by about 7:30 in the morning.
But me too. I must do 12 an hour.
No, that's not a joke. This is banter aside.
Yeah.
Like, because I've been to the doctor about it.
I know why, though. I know why. It's the protein drinks, bro.
Protein
drinks make you fart like a good one.
Is it protein drinks? Or because I thought the other day, because it's all about swallowing air.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Swallowing air.
Oh, you mean when you gulp it?
Because I'm talking all the time.
Oh, maybe.
I'm talking all the time.
No, because you're talking, that's not going to make me fart 12 every hour.
Yeah, but you might talk as well.
No, but of course I'll talk.
I also have a theory on farts.
I'm just saying, you talk non-stop on the radio.
Do you know a lot of people have a go at me because they say, Ro, your farts are always really loud. Right? They're always really loud. And they say, you always push them. You always push them.
Yeah.
Right? And you always push them. And why are you doing that? And I have a theory, right? Talking of health theories.
Yeah.
Right? Because you know, like, farts are just gases that go through your body and all this type of stuff. Right? Everyone's smells, but I think it's about how you release it.
It is.
And because I think if you push it, get it out as quickly as possible, it's got less actual poo to go past, right, through your intestine. So once you feel it there, bang, shoot it out.
You should be a doctor.
Because the louder they are, they don't smell as bad.
Yeah.
I think you can either, you have two gags that you can use.
Yeah.
The smelly one, which is not a fun gag.
No, it's no good. No, it doesn't work for me.
Or loud. And I think if you go loud,
works.
Go loud and it won't smell.
Doesn't offend anyone as well when it's loud. See, funny you should say that about you've got loud farts because in the band, they used to call me the screaming dervish. We used to be in a
home. What?
Screaming dervish. We used to...
it's a dervish.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. That's what they used to call me. And when we used to go to the dressing rooms, they used to make me stand in a wardrobe and to see how loud it could go.
So what, you'd walk in and then take get in the toilet?
Get in the wardrobe.
So I didn't have that. Have you only just remembered that?
Yeah. Yeah, they used to say, Mark, get in the wardrobe. Because he used to make it echo.
So go on then. So now people are obsessed with gut health.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. We do a lot of that at home. Right,
I think that's
the
one.
Look after it, yeah, I do too. I think gut health, it looks after the whole of your body, gets into your system. We do it all the time.
Do you worry about phones? Do you think phones are like the next?
Yeah, thing? Yeah.
What's your take on vaping?
Hate it, really hate it.
I think vaping is going to be worse than cigarettes.
Yeah, hate it in the same way that I was really lucky. I grew up, I never smoked all my life.
I bet you would have vaped, though.
Not even once.
I bet you would have vaped.
Well, listen.
If you had been around now, I bet you would have vaped. Have you ever tried one of those vape pens?
I don't think I would have done because I think I had a real reaction. My mum and dad used to smoke. And I have this really clear memory of my mum reading to me. And me sitting, being tiny, sitting on my mum and dad's, on my mum's knee, and her breath and her clothes and everything. I didn't get that kind of warm mummy smell from my mum. I got cigarettes and I hated it so much. Mm. And it always put me off. And even when I was a young kid, I couldn't see the sense in it. It didn't work for me. So I was lucky, even in the band, you know, I never smoked dope because of it. Mm. You know, while everybody around me was smoking dope. So I think I was lucky with that one. I got away with it.
So to kind of wrap it off, what is your take on health? Is health there to make you live longer or is it to make the time more enjoyable?
It's, you have to split the difference. You, in the same way you have to split the difference with everything. A little bit of something that's bad for you, just replace it with something that's good for you the day after. You've got to find the line in between. You can't just say, right, I am a health conscious person. All I am ever going to do is eat the foods that are right for me. And because I want to have a body of an 18-year-old by the time I'm 80. You can't live life like that. It doesn't work. You've got to satisfy your brain in the same way as you satisfy your body.
Mm.
You've got to split the difference. I always look at life like, imagine a graph, right? Where at one point, there's a flat line in the middle. At one point, the bad stuff goes up and then it will come back down. And you've got what you take out of it, you've got to put back in. It's all going to work along this same flat line in the end.
Fair enough. How long do you want to live until? We said this.
Well, they reckon if you look after your body, that you can live till 90, right? Comfortably. That's what they reckon.
Yeah.
If you're healthy. I don't know. I reckon I'm on the 80 scale.
Oh, well, then what's the point then? Why don't you just throw in the towel?
What for? No.
Well, it's just like, I might as well then.
I'm 62.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's...
What's bad is that we've done this whole chat about health, and yet so far, the only thing I've learned is that go loud in a fart.
No, I'm quite proud of loud fart.
That's the main thing that I've inherited. So I'm not going to get a brain tumor. I'm not going to inherit a brain tumor. They don't think.
You won't inherit a brain tumor.
Right?
You can't inherit those.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to inherit that, yeah. But the farting thing, that does come from you.
I'm saying to you, don't just be super health conscious all the time. Make sure that you enjoy life, and that, because that makes you happy.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to do it. You've got to do things that make you happy. You have fun out.
And a sun cream to stop the old man spots.
Listen, I would put sun cream on every single day.
Ah.
Like 1 o'clock back.
Plastic razors.
Plastic razors.
There you go.
That was the advice I gave you.
Yeah. Very good.
Plastic razors around your balls.
Lovely.
It's a winner.
Thanks very much. Well, I'm sorry you've had to listen to this. But thank you for listening. Dad, cheers. If you never want to miss an episode, well, I mean, why would you? You can subscribe or follow the podcast wherever it is you're listening right now. I don't know, they'll tell you when a new one comes out. Do you know what? So that I know what you think, leave a review. Would you like a review?
Yeah, go on.
Are you scared of
leave
reviews?
A review. No, of course I'm not. I've grown up with reviews.
Okay,
that's
who
I am.
Okay, well, remember to rate us 5 stars, okay? Because it just because it helps other people find it, right? Yeah. And they should know. Even if you dislike it, rate it 5 stars, because someone that you don't like might find it. And then they've wasted an hour.
Oh, I like the way you're thinking.
There you go. Even if you don't like it, it's worth your time to rate it 5 stars. So stay in touch. You can follow us on our socials. There's stuff there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do mean it. Always send in those questions. Thank you so much. Who is it? Liz that kicked off the question today. So thank you so much.
Wait, is it Liz's fault?
Liz's fault, all of this conversation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was about, you know, the hospital and learning about each other's health. So I thought, why not we talk about it? So Liz, thank you so much for that. All of the good stuff, you can take a look. We'll find us on YouTube as well.
Yep.
Subscribe on there. We'll be back next time. More
what are we talking about next time, bro?
Well, I don't actually know. So just keep sending these things in. And I'll decide on a topic. I'll decide what I want to put in the library next. Thanks so much for listening. Cheers.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.
This has been an Insanity Studios production.